repeat of that situation, as it might not escape with its life the next time around.
"Snack!"
it called out telepathically.
"Yes, master."
Zira was currently scouting out the situation from high in the air without worry of being spotted. Even if someone were to look upwards, it would be difficult to see her light blue body against the clear sky. Her eyesight might not have been as keen as a ranger's, but she had still spotted both the caravan and the bandits from her vantage point, well before the fight broke out. That was why Boxy had been able to take advantage of the situation.
"I am going to hunt. Do not let any of the food survive."
The succubus furrowed her brow as the gears in her rotten head were already hard at work. She was thinking about how to best accomplish such an order. A particularly devious idea then dawned on her when she saw how things were going on the ground.
"Master, I need something from you if I am to fulfill that order."
Back at the battle itself, the adventurers were already locked in combat with the bandits. Their leader, Ranger Barona, had directed her comrades to assist the mysterious red-skinned demon. It was a risk to get too close to it, however. Even if that fiend was wailing on the bandits with lethal repercussions, it wasn't clear if she was still under contract or not. Barona had taken the lack of ranged attacks coming out of the forest as a good sign, though, as it implied the violent demoness had allies. She wasn't clear on the details, but this was still her only chance. It was better to act now and catch the bandits in an improvised pincer attack rather than, as her second-in-command named Winchester put it, sit down, have a pint, and wait for this whole thing to blow over. Bloody dwarves and their alcoholism.
"Miles! Support Eric and Logar!"
she ordered through her whisper wind skill. The effects of this ranger skill made it so her words would reach any target within 200 meters or so without fail.
"Hass! You have two of them on your left! Nora! Don't get near that rampaging demon just yet!"
The skill also made it so only her target would be able to hear her speak, which made this an excellent tool for relaying instructions during a hectic battle like this.
"Winchester! How are you already out of MP? I swear, if you put whiskey in your mana potions again, I will rip your liver out and feed it to you!"
She kept giving out orders while firing her bow from a distance. Even if the enemy was more numerous, the adventurers had magic support on their side, which made them the superior force. As the fight dragged on, her only worry became making sure no more people in her charge died to this scum. Just then, she saw a fireball fly out of the tree line. Her initial thought was that more bandits had shown up, but quickly changed her mind when the magical projectile struck one of the bandits in the back. It enveloped him in flames, making him panic and roll around on the ground, screaming in agony. The ranger quickly tracked the spell's trajectory back to its point of origin, a youthful woman who was emerging from the tree line. She had auburn hair tied in a long ponytail and wore long, gray robes common among magic users, although it was torn and bloodied on her right side at the arm and thigh. Deep gashes were visible on her exposed leg and shoulder, which she had cauterized with fire magic, but her heavy limp made it clear she was by no means okay.
"I am an adventurer from Monotal, and that fiend's master,"
she yelled towards the ranger.
"Let us join forces."
Said demon threw two thumbs up high above her head while her other pair of arms were crushing some poor soul's head like an overripe melon.
"Understood. We welcome the assist,"
came the immediate reply. Barona was glad she and her companions wouldn't have to face off against that fiend. Honestly speaking, though, she still had some doubts whether that creature was actually leashed. She knew demons were brutal by nature and that bandits were to be killed on sight by law, so she could accept a certain amount of violence under the circumstances. However, ripping off a guy's arms and beating him across the head with them while repeatedly yelling, "Stop hitting yourself," was perhaps a bit too violent. It seemed her master didn't even try to restrain the demon under their charge, which was not the sign of a promising warlock. Her assertion had been right on the money, though. Cora's actual master was currently busy stalking one of the two deserters from earlier. It had neither the time, opportunity, nor desire to rein in its rampaging familiar. In fact, run wild and mow them down were pretty much the only orders it had given Cora. Well, aside from making her cooperate with Snack's latest scheme, but it had already put those details out of its tiny mind to focus on what was immediately ahead. A bandit panted heavily as he leaned against a tree, desperate to catch his breath. He was a young man, barely 17 years of age. The mass panic from earlier had hit him hard since it was his first time experiencing that sort of depthless desperation. When he finally regained his senses, however, he had already deserted the battle. And he knew full well what that psycho called Macron did to deserters. So he just kept running. His reaction was understandable, though. Fighting people was one thing, but he never signed up for that freaky monster shit. He'd much rather turn himself in than... Assassination skill triggered. Your attack has dealt 250% more damage. Target HP, -563. You have slain your target in a single strike. Assassination proficiency increased. Proficiency level increased. Assassination is now level 6. Agility +2, dexterity +1, strength +1. The mithril dagger was then casually withdrawn from the back of the bandit's throat, pulling his body down in the process. Boxy immediately activated its cadaver absorption, which should be the last time it needed to use it in order to advance the skill to the next level. Your cadaver absorption was a minor success. 12% of the target's highest attribute has been added to your own. Agility +10. Proficiency level increased. Cadaver absorption is now level 5. All attributes +1. And indeed it was. It even got some tasty attributes from it as a bonus. Taking part in that little struggle had been the right choice. Even if its jobs weren't getting a lot of experience points, XP, due to the difference in levels, it could at least train up some of the skills it had been neglecting recently. Such as, for example, stealth. Stealth. The practice of thinning out one's presence in order to avoid detection. Requirements: agility 15, dexterity 15, intelligence 5. Type: toggled. On. Activation time: instant. Cost: 10 MP. Range: self. Effects: suppresses all sounds made by movement. Drains 2 MP for every 1 meter traveled in any direction. The noise suppression effect of this skill improves with each level of this skill. Strictly speaking, Boxy found this entire encounter to be rather nostalgic, as it had been almost an entire week since it was last able to pull off a string of lethal ambushes. That may not have been a long time in the grand scheme of things, but it felt like forever from the perspective of a monster barely 3 months old. Even the cataclysmic core meltdown earlier that day already felt like a distant memory to the mimic. Ah, but now wasn't the time to space out and reminisce about the past. It had hunted down one of the rats that tried to flee the sinking ship, but the other one had escaped in a different direction entirely. Boxy wasn't very good at tracking, so, realistically speaking, its chances of finding him now were catastrophically low. It could keep looking around blindly, but that would probably be just a waste of time and energy. Wouldn't it be better to go check on its familiars and the tasty buffet they were supposed to prepare for it? It had already been 7 or 8 minutes since it last saw Snack, and Boxy hadn't heard from her since, so it felt it would be prudent to go check on her progress. A stream of messages then flooded the mimic's mind, interrupting its train of thought. It began with, "Your familiar has been banished," signifying its pet succubus was no more. That was followed by a flood of notifications telling the monster it had either obliterated or blown away over a dozen living things, dealing anywhere between 600 and 900 damage to each of them in the process. It even got reinvigorated for 144 HP and 128 MP as a result of its Butcher of Humanity perk. The truly tasty part, however, was the last group of messages it had received. Proficiency level increased. Power overwhelming is now level 4. Intelligence +4. Proficiency level increased. Crystallized magic is now level 3. Intelligence +2. Wisdom +2. Proficiency level increased. Ruin mastery is now level 6. Intelligence +2. Wisdom +1. Endurance +1. Level up! Level up! Congratulations. You are now a level 24 warlock. Intelligence +4. Mental fortitude +4. Endurance +4. Boxy was still taking in all the information when it heard the echoes of a thunderous explosion wash over the forest.
"Arms? Any survivors?"
it called out to its sole surviving familiar.
"I don't think so, Master,"
That bitch blew up good. She took out the whole lot of them and... Oh, wait. One of them's still twitching.
Proficiency level increased. Summon familiar is now level 7. Intelligence plus 2. Wisdom plus 1. Mental fortitude plus 1. The slaughter invigorates you. HP plus 19. MP plus 18.
There. All done.
Good. Guard the place. I'll be there later. I have prey to hunt.
Yes, master.
The mimic felt oddly satisfied as it began its search for the last survivor. As expected of the snack, it came up with a truly tasty plan. Boxy would never have considered gaining the trust of adventurers just to explode them all at once in a suicide attack by detonating a big bang ball. That was the nickname it had given to the potent combination of power overwhelming, dark explosion, and crystallized magic. Incidentally, the bang ball was the same, only without the power overwhelming, and the mass panic spell crystals were referred to simply as boo balls. Granted, the containers conjured via crystallized magic weren't technically balls, but Boxy had decreed them to be close enough. Besides, there was absolutely no way it could actually say something like dodecahedron, no matter how many times Snack tried to teach it, so it would stick with balls for the time being. The mimic was still somewhat confused about one aspect of the succubus's anti-adventurer plan, though. Surely there were better ways of hiding a spell crystal on one's person, right? Then again, Snack had carried out her task flawlessly, so it had no choice but to conclude that jamming the 10-centimeter-wide object up the succubus's asshole had worked out for the best. General information. Boxy T. Morningwood. Mimic. Greater. Genderless. 3 months old. Level 33 Mimic. Level 24 Warlock. 953 out of 968 HP, plus 2.2 per second. 314 out of 900 MP, plus 1.1 per second. Attributes. Strength, 113. Dexterity, 124. Agility, 113. Endurance, 171. Intelligence, 180. Wisdom, 110. Luck, 58. Mental fortitude, 113. Charisma, 35. Mimic skills. Assassination, level 6. Storage, level 4. Cadaver absorption, level 5. Biomass, level 3. Natural armor, level 2. Warlock skills. Summon familiar, level 7. Power overwhelming, level 4. Demonology, level 3. Crystallize magic, level 3. Other skills. Shapeshift, level 6. Stealth, level 5. Sword mastery, level 6. Projectile Mastery, Level 2. Dagger Mastery, Level 4. Ruin Mastery, Level 6. Domination Mastery, Level 3. Spell List. Ruin. Shadow Bolt. Ebonfire. Frostbite. Dark Explosion. Shadow Bind. Domination. Mass Panic. Delirium. Dark Infusion. Mind Blast. Part 4. With one of the deserters taken care of and the caravan escorts turned to meat soup, Boxy turned its attention towards finding the last survivor of that failed ambush. Or at least it would have liked to, but it had no idea where to even begin. It was confident it could outrun or at least keep up with humans at full speed, but that would require having a line of sight with its quarry. Such a thing was clearly not going to happen in this thick, overgrown forest. Even if the trees weren't there, the numerous ridges and boulders would still hinder its view. In fact, it had nearly lost track of its latest victim several times due to the terrain. The mimic's agility had risen quite a bit recently, but that young man appeared to have a good deal of the same attribute himself. He probably also had some kind of movement assisting skill, as he was faster than Boxy. He might have even escaped if this were even ground, or if he hadn't stopped to catch his breath. Thankfully, he made a good deal of noise as he ran, allowing the monster to track him through the brush by sound. Unfortunately, such a method wasn't going to be of use when its next target was long gone.
Then how about following his trail?
Boxy had already tracked a number of things during the few days spent in the forest, so it already knew what sort of signs to look out for. Trampled grass, broken branches, torn clothing, that sort of thing. It was the same knowledge it applied when it left an invitation for those punitive force members to come find it. Admittedly, that ambush hadn't quite worked out as it would have liked since, much like the scuffle from earlier, the adventuring party scout had been on their toes, but the setup for it had been as good as could be expected. The mimic turned around with that in mind and headed back towards the last spot it saw the lone survivor, near the caravan ambush site. After several minutes it arrived at its destination, a place that was only about a dozen meters from the edge of the forest, beyond which was the road and the nearby canyon. Boxy started investigating the area, using its magical perception to look for even the smallest sign of the man passing through, but soon realized that was a pointless effort. After all, the direction the soon-to-be-dead man was headed towards was obvious. There was a faint path of trampled and dried-up grass on the forest floor that led away from the road and deeper into the woods. Humans had a fondness for traveling over such flattened and relatively smooth terrain, so there was a good chance the man ran through here. Boxy just needed to follow this path and see where it led. But first, it decided to bring its familiar back to life. There was no point to delay it any longer, now that it was back on full MP.
"Greetings, Master."
Zira materialized, grinning from ear to ear. Whether her good mood was because she had successfully fooled and betrayed an entire party of adventurers or due to the fact she experienced a fatal anal explosion was best left unsaid.
"Scout the path,"
ordered Boxy, pointing deeper towards the forest with one of its arachnid limbs.
"Understood, Master."
The succubus spread her wings and took to the air, but ended up reporting back the instant she cleared the forest's canopy.
"Master, I see an old fort in the distance."
"What's a fort?"
"It's a stone building. Highly fortified and tricky to assault, but this one is in shambles. And before you ask, no, forts are not tasty."
"Oh. So the meat ran away to this fort thingy?"
"I don't know, Master, but it's the most likely place that this path leads to. It's actually not all that far away."
The mimic was more than a bit surprised. Wasn't this too easy? It quickly skittered up the side of a tree to get a good look for itself. Its needle-like spider legs dug into the bark as it ascended the tree trunk and climbed atop the thickest, tallest branch it could find. But even after going as high up as it could, it still couldn't see above the tree line. This would probably be the first situation where it wanted to be taller. Well, not like that was impossible. The ghostly, pale pseudo-Zira's head poked out from the massive leaves, giving Boxy a vantage point similar to that of the already cringing demoness. The albino head swayed and shook awkwardly thanks to the meter-long neck it was attached to, massively creeping out the original in the process. She wasn't a stranger to this sort of freakish display, but seeing her own body being stretched like that really got to her. Though whether she was shaking because of disgust or excitement was something she wasn't quite ready to answer. The mimic scanned the tree line and immediately saw what Snack was talking about. There was an overgrown tower poking through the treetops, with stone walls reminiscent of those around the former city of Monatol surrounding it. Peering into the distance, it also saw what looked like people patrolling on top of them. They were smaller than grains of rice from its point of view, but the two-legged, two-armed shapes were most definitely moving about. Humans liked hiding behind walls, so there was indeed a very good chance its quarry had run there. However, much like the city, there appeared to be quite a few sentries up on those crumbling walls. They were bound to discover it and raise an alarm, at which point it might get pincushioned by ranged attacks. Then again, it had a pretty tasty, snack-shaped distraction with which to befuddle them. Both of its demonic familiars had gotten stronger with its latest burst of job and skill levels. Zira's magic-focused status in particular shined through as she surpassed 1,000 MP. The much higher intelligence would, without a doubt, make her spells much more dangerous than Boxy's. While both monsters dealt a similar amount of damage with their respective magic, Snack could keep using her highly efficient fire-based spells for much, much longer. The downside was that her physical attributes were atrocious. A level 17 succubus and level 12 pyromancer with a maximum HP of 517 was pathetic from the mimic's point of view. There was more to a status than simply attributes, though. The increase in levels of Zira's jobs had also given her access to two brand new skills she did not have until several minutes ago. Invisibility. Succubi are tricksters of the highest order, capable of fooling even light itself. Requirements: level 15 succubus. Type: active. Activation time: 2 seconds. Cost: 250 MP. Range: self. Effects: grants invisibility for 30 seconds. Increases the duration of this skill by 6 seconds per level of the skill. Casting a spell or taking damage will negate the effect. The first was similar, yet completely different from stealth. It confused the eyes, but did not mask the noise she made, so she could still be detected by the sound of her footsteps or breathing. Her gliding around, however, was almost completely silent. Flying while under the effects of this skill was perfect for scouting out enemy positions and getting the drop on others. The downside was that she had to stand perfectly still while activating it, which meant using this once combat started was ill-advised. Mana Burn. A Pyromancer's flames can burn away magic itself. Requirements: level 10 Pyromancer, Devouring Flame, Intelligence 45, Wisdom 45. Type: passive. Range: 100 meters. Effects: Devouring Flame effect will reduce the target's MP by an amount equal to 50% of HP damage dealt. Increases the duration of Devouring Flame by 0.5 seconds per level of this skill. This second one was perhaps not as impactful, but seemed to be quite tasty nonetheless. Those devouring flames left behind by Snack's magic were almost as bad as the spell itself, but combined with this skill, it would make them even worse. The ability to reduce the target's MP directly was undoubtedly going to be very useful in long fights, especially against opponents that could heal their wounds. It was unclear to Boxy if it would have helped against the Flesh Maiden, but adventurers with healing magic were incredibly persistent if one was unable to take them out instantly. Another effective target would be people or monsters like Arms that had tiny MP pools compared to their absurd HP, as it would render them unable to use whatever skills or spells they had. But the mimic was digressing. It still had people to slaughter, so it switched mental tracks from theorizing about the best way to murder things to putting said theories into practice.
Snack! We're attacking that place!
It leapt off the tree and started making its way towards the ruined fort. Even if it could be seen from the treetops, it still took about 20 more minutes to reach the place. The sky steadily turned red and the sun was about to set by the time Boxy reached its destination. It wasn't bothered by the passage of time, though, as darkness was its ally. And the trip had given it time to prepare. Its spell crystals would last up to 18 minutes now, which meant it could stockpile quite a few of them in advance. It took only a little over 2 minutes to recover the MP spent on a bang ball, so it could easily start the battle with 5 of them at the ready while still being on full MP. However, throwing them out in the middle of combat was going to be tricky, what with all the awkward flailing involved. That was why it gave 4 of them to the succubus, though it refused her request to stuff them up her ass. Even if she was adamant they would fit, that wasn't the point. She had to throw them down from above as a surprise attack, and Boxy had serious doubts she would be able to evacuate her bowels quick enough to accomplish that. After all, once the keyword was spoken, all 4 of them would arm at the same time. And then there was the obvious lack of accuracy to consider with such a method. Therefore, she would just carry them around in her arms.
"Now stop saying stupid things and go!"
Zira's idiotic monster of a master had called her butt-bombing idea stupid. A brainless chest that bit people in the face as a way of saying hello was looking down on her. And worst of all, it was completely in the right. A casual observer would expect a proud demon such as a succubus to feel scorned or disheartened at such a realization. And they would be correct. In fact, if she were the same demoness as yesterday, she might actually suffer HP damage from that self-inflicted burn.
"Right away, Master."
However, that Zira was gone. All that was left in her place was a shameless, hopeless, incorrigible pervert who was sorely disappointed she wasn't going to get her anal cavity stretched and abused. Still, the succubus had orders to follow, and the sooner she was done, the sooner she could resume choking on her co-contractor's meat stick for fun. She promptly activated her newly acquired invisibility and took off from the ground into the air. She glided silently through the evening sky towards the bandit-infested fork some 50 meters away and began relaying the layout of the place back to Boxy through the mind link. She had somewhat expected it at first, but the succubus calling that place a fort was an overstatement. In actuality, it was closer to decrepit ruin, if one were to be brutally honest. The main feature of the place was the 15 meters tall, half-collapsed stone tower. On the ground next to it stood an old two-story barracks made out of rotten wood. Opposing it stood a smaller stone building that doubled as both storehouse and armory. Several shabby lodgings, such as wooden shacks and primitive tents from animal hides and tree branches, were strewn around the place. Those highly temporary lodgings had likely been erected in a hurry by the criminal gang that had turned the old military outpost into their base of operations. A collapsing wall about 6 meters tall and 2 meters thick surrounded the ancient compound. From the air, it looked like a lopsided rectangle with about 30 meters on each side and a small, circular turret on each corner. While not large enough to be a castle wall capable of repelling invaders, it was more than enough to ward off wild animals and monsters. About half of it had collapsed under the ravages of time, and what remained looked as if it would fall over with a good push, although the same could be said of the other buildings.
"I also see 6 lookouts on the wall, but I expect more to be inside," said Zira, finishing off her report.
"Good. Then drop the bang balls to start the attack,"
came the telepathic order. And it was obeyed, though reluctantly. The succubus armed the 4 crystals she was carrying and dropped them from above at random. One of them fell next to a bow-armed bandit on top of the wall, the resulting shockwave knocking him off his perch and down onto the ground. It also caused the aged wall to heave mightily under the stress and collapse into a pile of stones. The 2nd magical bomb fell on the barracks, ripping a huge hole in its roof and wall. The last 2 didn't hit anything of value and simply made small craters in the ground, kicking up a lot of dust and bother in the process.
"The wall exploded!
What the flying fuck was that?"
Overall, the damage done was quite minimal. However, the collapsing wall, the screaming victim, and the exploded barracks all did their job of terrifying the simple bandits. Their reaction was to be expected, though. Just knowing magic existed didn't mean you were mentally prepared to be attacked by it, especially not when it happened almost literally out of the blue. Thankfully for them, there was someone around to take charge of the situation.
"Calm down, you worms!"
A 2-meter-tall, scar-faced and red-haired man named Renmack came out of the ruined tower. He had just finished interrogating the spineless worm who'd abandoned his twin brother, Macrin. The idiot actually came back to their base rather than run off and die in the forest somewhere. Judging from his testimony about the 4-armed red nightmare and how he had soiled both sides of his pants while running away, it was clear to the former adventurer exactly who was attacking them.
"It's an enemy attack! It's likely a warlock!"
he shouted.
"Don't bunch up! Scatter and find hot—"
A mass of darkness hit him squarely in the back before he could even finish giving out orders, making him scream in pain as he fell forward. Assassination skill triggered. Your attack has dealt 300% more damage. Target HP, -605. You have dealt a devastating blow. Target stunned for 5 seconds. The other bandits looking in his direction were left speechless at the sudden turn of events. First, their base started exploding for no good reason, and now one of those incredibly tough and fearsome twins was face down on the ground with a hole in his upper back. It was as if some wild beast had snuck up on Renmack and taken a bite out of him. That wild guess wasn't quite right, but it wasn't entirely wrong either. The sound of roaring rained down on them from above. Looking up, they saw the bizarre combination of a box, a spider, and a slut wrapped in a cloak of lightning, clinging to the side of the ruined tower.
Shadow Bolt!
No longer needing to hide itself, Boxy fired the empowered spell at the collapsed bandit. It hit him in the waist, splitting him in 2 and finishing him off while leaving his heart and head intact. The mimic then looked towards the other bandits, who felt dread wash over them when they saw its white lips curve into an impossibly wide smile in the shape of a crescent moon. And a few minutes later, the only thing left of those men was their mostly intact but significantly mutilated corpses. The combined magical barrage from Boxy and Zira swept them away in a completely one-sided show of force. Bandits generally had few magic users on hand, and their leader had taken them all out to that ambush, along with the most capable fighters. The ones left behind were runts, good only for chasing monsters away or doing menial labor. So they never had a chance. Now that all of those pesky humans were out of the way, Boxy was free to investigate their camp at its leisure. This was only its second time being in the same living space as humans, so it was quite curious as to what it would find. There wasn't much to see, though. As expected of a bunch of outlaws inhabiting the woods, their living conditions were rather poor. Just being able to eat and drink on a regular basis and keep a roof over their heads was good enough for most of them. So it was understandable that the rickety huts and tents the lower-ranked members used held nothing of value. The wrecked barracks building that had been used as a combination common room and mess hall didn't fare much better either. Boxy found a bunch of food, which was immediately eaten, and a few barrels of clean water that were completely ignored. But that was it. The smaller stone building proved to be much more fruitful, yielding a pile of weapons, armor, and other miscellaneous items that caught the mimic's interest. These items must have belonged to the victims of these criminals, seeing as how they were bloodied, rusty, bent, broken, ripped, or in otherwise poor condition. They reminded Boxy of that pile of scrap metal it left behind in the dungeon during its harrowing escape. Well, that particular collection of souvenirs was probably evaporated in the blast, and none were even remotely shiny, so didn't think about them too much. Still, there was something to be found in this scrap heap. Boxy looted a few swords that looked to be in mostly working order. There was also a set of 10 basic, albeit identical, iron daggers that were also put away inside its storage, mostly to be used as throwing knives should the need arise. It then went back outside and started using cadaver absorption on the corpses, out of which it only got 2 favorable outcomes. "Your cadaver absorption was a minor success. The body's deteriorated condition has weakened this effect by 25%. 12% of the target's highest attribute has been added to your own. Endurance plus 7. Your cadaver absorption was a minor success. 12% of the target's highest attribute has been added to your own. Strength plus 13. The vast majority were failures, as expected. At the very least, the success rate was definitely higher than what it experienced while fighting in the forest. Both its luck and its cadaver absorption level had gone up significantly since its last real harvest, so this much was natural. It still needed about 10% more proficiency for shapeshift to advance, though. Boxy felt like it had just been repeating the same old transformations over and over, which didn't really seem to afford it much progress towards the next level. Even turning into a humanoid shape other than Zira's did little for its proficiency. Therefore, it would need to actively consider what new shapes and forms it could adapt as part of its continued training. But that would come later. Right now, it still had one more building to check. The ruined tower that the biggest of the humans came out of. It walked into the building through a stone archway and looked around. There was a table with a bunch of papers and books in one corner and a number of chairs thrown haphazardly around it. Several unlit torches lined the walls, and the starry night sky was visible through the missing parts of the wall and ceiling. There really wasn't much to look at in this filthy place. Yet Boxy's attention was focused on one single thing. The mimic let out a loud, aggressive hiss as it took a few wary steps backwards and bared its teeth. In this place, against all odds, it was left face to face with that once more. The second toughest opponent it had ever run across. The Flesh Maiden was undoubtedly the worst, but that thing in front of the sentient chest had given it more trouble than everything else besides her. Even that Janther was ultimately no big deal in comparison.
"What's the matter, Master?"
asked Zira. She had followed her master into the room and was more than a little surprised to see it acting cautiously for no apparent reason.
"Enemy! It's an enemy!"
it spat back. The succubus, however, still had no idea what Boxy was talking about. All she saw was the base of an old stone tower with nothing in it except for some shitty wooden furniture and what looked to be stairs leading down into some sort of basement, sealed off by an enchanted steel grate. Part 5.
Dark Explosion!
The hateful steel grate was rocked by the most violent of Boxy's spells. The metal creaked and groaned, but it survived with barely a dent. The stone brick doorway it was bolted to was equally unfazed.
Dark Explosion!
It tried again, but it didn't fare any better. It didn't seem like the grate was withstanding the force of those shockwaves, but more like the magic itself wasn't exerting as much power as it normally would. That was because military fortifications such as this would have some sort of enchantment that would repel magical attacks. It was only common sense. Otherwise, any moron with a bunch of levels could topple a castle. The only reason Boxy's spells worked on the walls outside was that the enchantments had all waned and lost their hold over the years. However, the magic built into the central part of the old fort had not succumbed to the ravages of time just yet, which was the only reason this tower was even standing in the first place. Not that the mimic had any idea about any of this. From its perspective, it just wasn't hitting things hard enough.
Huh?
Exclaimed Zira. She was still a bit stupefied when she realized the big bad enemy her master was so wary of was an inanimate object. The angry face and hate-filled shouting her albino imitation made were also a first. So she was slow to react when said master flared up with the really dangerous power overwhelming.
Master, if you— Dark Explosion!
Aimed right at the middle of that infuriating grate, the extra-strength Dark Explosion finally did the trick. It overwhelmed the anti-magic enchantment on the steel and the surrounding stone, blowing them apart. The nearby wall of the tower itself also got caught up in the spell, setting off a chain reaction that collapsed the entire thing on top of Boxy and Zira and burying them in debris. A few minutes later, the animate chest crawled out from under the rubble. The pseudo-Zira sticking out of it had been pierced clean through the chest by one metal rod, and a second, smaller one was stuck in the mimic's main body. The extra-powerful spell had turned the metal rods the grating was assembled with into spear-sized shrapnel.
Piss!
It cursed, using Zira's borrowed mouth.
That stupid grate! How dare it try to kill me again!
Master, that was entirely your own fault,
came a voice from nearby. The real succubus was currently digging herself out of the rubble. Apparently the metal shrapnel had missed her entirely, and the falling stones weren't enough to finish her off.
No, it wasn't,
insisted Boxy.
That thing is just really dangerous.
It refused to admit that it had inadvertently hurt itself again, despite copious amounts of evidence to the contrary, especially since it should have known what would happen if it went for the big bang in an enclosed space. So what if that little fact slipped its still-developing mind in the heat of the moment? The inanimate object was surely to blame, not itself. Zira let out a disappointed, almost defeated sigh.
Ah, whatever you say, Master.
The cluelessness of this monster that annihilated an entire city for kicks calling a lump of metal dangerous was too much for her to handle. She decided to avoid pressing the issue and change the subject entirely.
So what happens now?
She asked in a dull monotone. Boxy took a few moments to calm down a bit. That was a good question, wasn't it? Why did they come in here to begin with? Oh, right. Checking out the place. The mimic pulled the metal rods from its body and went back to its more compact spider chest form. It went over to double-check on the passageway it blew apart, but it was inaccessible. The narrow, steep staircase entrance was covered with rubble, as was the path beyond it. Clearing the way would take substantial effort, not to mention the basement it led to might have collapsed anyway. The mimic's little magically empowered tantrum had put the nail in the coffin for this old ruin. Well, technically it was possible to use storage to excavate the place and explore what was downstairs, but Boxy had more pressing matters to attend to.
We go back to where Arms is.
Like those 20-plus corpses waiting for it back at the massacred caravan. It had gotten a lucky streak of successes with its cadaver absorption recently and wanted to see if that would continue. And so Boxy and Zira left the former fort and current pile of rubble behind and made their way back to Korra. The sky had already gone dark, and the stars peered down from between gaps in the forest's canopy. While this forest was never particularly hospitable during the day, it was much worse during the night. Most nocturnal monsters were far more vicious than their daylight-loving counterparts. The Janther was a prime example of that, and this area was home to one of those self-proclaimed kings, an individual who was currently investigating the scent of a challenger that had entered his domain. The simple beast was more than a little confused when it found out this challenger was a box with legs, rather than one of its own kind. It observed this curious creature from a distance, not sure what to do with it. That wooden shell and stringy-looking legs didn't seem particularly appetizing. On the other hand, this thing carried the faint scent of another male's urine and was brazenly walking around its territory, which was an insult. One this Janther would not forgive. So it gave up on stalking its target from a distance and crept closer, using its stealth skill to make sure it wasn't discovered. And it worked perfectly until it got to about 10 meters away. That was when the hunter felt an odd tingling in its whiskers.
Ebon fire!
Followed immediately by an intense burning sensation that covered its entire being.
Fireball!
Then came a second, even more intense pain spreading across its face. The beast roared and charged forward in a blind rage, but it was no match for the mimic. Boxy may have had the disadvantage when it came to base parameters, but its attributes were significantly higher. And it could use magic. The Janther was therefore slain with little to no effort by the monster with a combined level of 57. Level up! Congratulations! You are now a level 25 warlock. Intelligence plus 2. Mental fortitude plus 2. Endurance plus 2. You have learned a new spell. Singularity. Correction. 58.
Status!
Chanted Boxy, eager to see what changes had occurred. General information. Boxy T. Morningwood. Mimic, greater. Genderless. 3 months old. Level 33 mimic. Level 25, Warlock. Max. 1,026 out of 1,026 HP. Plus 2.3 per second. 543 out of 910 MP. Plus 1.1 per second. The Warlock job reaching its max level at 25 wasn't that big of a surprise. Those seemed to go up in multiples of 25. However, the lack of a plus sign anywhere on this status screen was most unsettling. Boxy tried to ask its font of knowledge about this, but Snack wasn't particularly helpful. Her status worked in a completely different way, after all, so she never cared about the job progression of mortals. Still, someone with her wealth of life experience inevitably picked up on certain things whether they wanted to or not, like the whole rank-up process. One of her old masters obsessed over it constantly, so it was natural she would learn a thing or two about it. Just how she knew that one way to advance the warlock job was to visit a trainer who worked for one of the guilds. That wasn't very helpful to Boxy, though, as those places would never accept a monster's custom. There was some good news, at least. The succubus remembered something about an alternate way of advancing to the next tier of one's job, but couldn't offer any details. She never gave a damn about such trivialities, so it was hardly surprising some things went in one ear and out the other. Boxy would need to extract information about developing its warlock job from a library or guild by using its snack as a proxy pair of eyes. Bottom line was that it wasn't going to be getting any new skills for the moment, but at least it got a brand new spell for its troubles, right? Singularity. Requirements: level 25 warlock, intelligence 200, mental fortitude 100. School: ruin. Type: area effect. Cost: 500 MP. Range, 40 meters. Effects. Creates a gravity well at the target location for 15 seconds. Requires a focusing crystal. Okay, maybe not. It was still short of the 200 intelligence requirement, but that could be solved with a few more levels. The real problem was that focusing crystal. Yet another thing Boxy didn't know about. Inspecting the words didn't offer any new insight either. The knowledge of the spell seemed to indicate it was an apple-sized bauble and that it would be consumed to invoke the spell. But that was it. More useful data, like what it was made of, where to get it, or what it actually looked like, was not available. And most important of all, the mimic had no idea if a focusing crystal was tasty or not. It didn't sound very tasty, but it would probably be shiny at the very least.
"Oh, Master! You're back!"
said Cora when she saw the two of them step out of the tree line.
"Thank fuck! I was getting so bored that
I don't care. Did you finish retrieving the bodies?"
asked Boxy, shoving aside her complaints.
Yeah. They're over there in a pile.
The fiend pointed behind her towards a deep crater in the cobblestone road, the site of Zira's butt-bombing. All the dead bandits were there, as well as what was left of the adventurers. The mutilated corpses and miscellaneous body parts were piled up in a way that resembled a disgusting salad, which, considering the circumstances, was oddly fitting. The mimic went to the corpse pile and started processing them using cadaver absorption.
"Ugh!"
exclaimed Cora.
"Is it drinking those people?"
"Oh, yeah,"
said Zira.
"This is your first time seeing that, isn't it?"
"What the fuck? It does this regularly? Why?"
"It's some weird skill the Master uses to permanently upgrade its status. I'm not sure on the details, but I think that's how it got the warlock job without visiting a trainer. Seems to be quite convenient."
"That's an understatement. Considering the body count that thing has racked up in just a day, I'd say it's almost too convenient."
The succubus shrugged.
"Maybe. It's not a bad thing, though. Honestly, I don't mind having that box as a master. It may be a moron, but it's certainly more entertaining than my previous contractors."
"Hmm. You do have a point. I mean, it's only been my first day. Yet I got to smash, like, 100 different things. Certainly way better than my previous jobs. Though, to be honest, this is only my third time being bound to a mortal, so I don't know if that statement counts for much."
"What? Really?"
Zira blurted, eyes wide.
"Only 3 contracts? Aren't you, like, 300 years old?"
On average, a demon got contracted to a new master once every 50 or 60 years, so cases like Cora's were quite rare.
"Well, my first master was okay, I guess,"
explained the fiend.
"It was some crime boss or something who had me act as her bodyguard. I mostly threw mean looks at people, but I saw a fair bit of action."
"That doesn't seem too bad."
"Yeah, it was all right. A lot more fun than being used as some champion of justice or whatever. My second contractor sucked donkey ass, though. It was some damnable dwarf that kept me bound in his service for almost a century. The asshole only summoned me 3 times. 3! And the worst part is, they were all to help him move furniture around."
Zira grimaced.
"Wow. That sounds terrible. No wonder you jumped on this thing's fiend contract so eagerly."
"If anyone here's the eager one, it's you, isn't it?"
The two demons kept making small talk for a while before it inevitably descended into their favorite pastime. Hate fucking. It really was no surprise that the two of them seemed unable to keep their hands off each other. Almost as if they were newlyweds on a honeymoon. After all, the pleasures of the flesh were impossible to experience in a place like the Beyond, so they indulged themselves at every opportunity in the physical realm. Boxy ignored the flesh-on-flesh slapping noises coming from behind and continued processing the corpses. It had absorbed 13 mostly intact bodies, 7 that had a few missing parts, and 3 that were basically a head and torso with extras. It appeared that the mimic's earlier lucky streak had run out, however, as none of them yielded a success. There were also a bunch of leftover bits that weren't usable, so it just devoured them to fill its belly. It did, however, regret waiting so long to do so, as humans were at their tastiest while they were still warm. Having concluded its desecration of the dead, Boxy climbed out of the crater and went to investigate the 2 cargo wagons and the overturned stagecoach. At first, the food cart seemed to be a really good catch, but that judgment quickly changed after the mimic sampled its contents. The preserved food it carried would definitely satisfy the monster's hunger, but Boxy would be hard-pressed to call it tasty. The fruits and vegetables in particular had little to no flavor, while the salted fish was downright nasty. The various dried meats and jerky were all right, though. After tasting a bit of the merchandise, Boxy began putting all of it, except for the fish, into its storage. Food was food, even if it wasn't particularly tasty. Having another source of nutrition would allow Boxy to absorb more corpses rather than be forced into eating them to sustain itself. The fish could just fuck off and disappear, though. They were almost as untasty as the mummified remains left behind by cadaver absorption, so it didn't even bother with them. Proficiency level increased. Storage is now level 5. Endurance plus 1. Intelligence plus 1. Wisdom plus 2. This was the first time in a long while Boxy had used the storage skill so much, so gaining a level of it wasn't that big of a surprise. In fact, Boxy was counting on it. The higher the skill level, the higher the pocket dimension's capacity. At level 4 it would have been impossible to fit in all the cargo it wanted to carry around, but level 5 gave it more space. It was filled almost to bursting anyway, but still had a few cubic meters worth of room inside it as it moved on to the second wagon. This one held a plethora of common items one would find in a general store and was slightly more exciting, at least at first. After all, the Mimic had never seen the vast majority of things in here, like kitchen utensils, wooden plates, commoner clothes, string, hammers, nails, paints, farming tools, and so on. However, simple curiosity was all the attention they got. Once they were judged as neither shiny nor tasty, they became unworthy of the Mimic's notice. It still took a bag of glass marbles and a mining pick, though. The former were somewhat shiny and looked like they would be fun to play around with, and the latter seemed like it was good at breaking things. Certainly better than slamming its swords or daggers into hard surfaces. Satisfied, Boxy left the cargo wagons behind and approached the ruined stagecoach. It seemed arms had been slacking when it gave her the order to gather all the corpses in one spot. Then again, it only told her to gather the redheads and adventurers. It failed to realize there would be people in the wrecked pile of wood at the very front until it was standing right next to it and saw a bloodied hand sticking out from under the mass of planks. It tore through the wreckage, pulling it apart and flinging the debris haphazardly around using its tentacles. To its surprise, it actually found not one, but 3 corpses inside. The first was an adult male human. One of the bandit's spells had hit him on the side of the head, destroying half of it. He was eaten to become part of the Mimic's biomass. Oh, right. Biomass only increased in proficiency if Boxy consumed flesh. Focusing too much on cadaver absorption would have a negative impact on this skill's development, and the Mimic couldn't have that. If it wasn't for the additional HP recovery it granted, the monster would have surely died in its encounter with the Flesh Maiden. Regrowing all those lost body parts would also be impossible without the deep reserves of raw, shape-shifting material this skill allowed it to store up. The monster now regretted not chowing down on that Janther it killed. Consuming hundreds of kilograms worth of meat and guts like that would have surely helped push biomass closer to level 4. Using cadaver absorption on it felt like a waste in retrospect. Perhaps in the future it would be better to devour large and relatively weak creatures like that. Smaller ones could be absorbed in order to raise its cadaver absorption proficiency, since the size of the body didn't seem to actually matter when it came to that particular skill, unlike biomass. Speaking of which, the second and third corpses in that wrecked caravan were quite small. Puny, even. They were both gnomes, a race of people said to share some distant ancestry with dwarves. Their average height was only about 120 centimeters. They could almost pass for human children, were it not for their well-trimmed facial hair and slightly off proportions. Their heads, for instance, seemed too large for their bodies, while their arms were so long that they could probably touch their knees without bending over. For Boxy, this was the first time it had encountered this race. Based on their anatomical oddities, it was immediately able to recognize they were not human, so it was slightly curious how they would taste. It wrapped its tongue around one's waist and gobbled it up like a piece of candy. These things were so small, the Mimic could probably fit 2 or 3 of them inside its mouth cavity at once. As for the taste, it was nothing overwhelming. They had a flavor very similar to that of humans, much like the elves and dwarves it had already sampled multiple times. They were still tasty, but humans were definitely the best. The monster didn't eat the second one, though, as these scrawny morsels would do little to satisfy its hunger. The only reason it ate the first one was to get a feel for their taste, so Boxy just absorbed the second. This resulted in another failure, But the Mimic wasn't all that bothered by such outcomes. It wasn't like it lost anything other than MP when it ran that sort of gamble, so there was no point in feeling disappointed. It was just about to move on from this place and continue its aimless journey down the road when it stopped to consider part of the wrecked stagecoach. There was a miraculously intact wheel hanging on a less-than-intact axle. Boxy's violent digging through the wreckage had disturbed it, causing it to spin around ever so slowly as it hung off the piece of wood. When Snack mentioned the wagons while she was scouting ahead earlier, she had described them as huge boxes humans use to move stuff around. The Mimic had never actually seen it in motion, so it just assumed those horses were just dragging it along the ground. After all, the carriage's round legs were clearly lacking feet, knees, or any other discernible joints. Because they weren't legs at all. They were wheels. They spun around instead of moving up and down, allowing the carriage to roll across the relatively flat ground. And it was this seemingly inconsequential piece of common knowledge that captivated Boxy. It more or less understood that rolling around was a more efficient form of movement than walking, especially on flat surfaces. That was knowledge it had gleaned during its brief time handling the gigantic dungeon core. True, it was heavy and looked like it was tricky to control at high speed, but it still moved much faster than if arms were to carry it around on her back. Curious as to how good these wagons would be at that sort of thing, it took a run up and slammed at full force into the side of the mostly empty food wagon. The vehicle rocked violently, but didn't budge. The Mimic let out a disappointed sigh as its enthusiasm deflated. It then realized that those round feet would only roll in a particular direction. An understandable mistake, all things considered. So the monster repositioned itself and tried again, this time from the back of the carriage. It moved! How mysterious! Boxy repeated the process a few more times, using its magical perception to observe the wheels and axles as it slowly inched the vehicle forward. As for the purpose of this entire exercise, it was to fulfill an unerring law of this world. Mimics got a mimic. If a giant box could have wheels and axles, then why couldn't a smaller one? That was the thought that drove the monster to move the carriage around and observe its means of motion. After about 10 minutes of studying it, the Mimic decided it had seen enough, stopped playing around with the wagon, and sat down on the ground. Half of its spider legs retracted completely inside its body, while the remaining four became short, thick, and straight. Now came the moment of truth. The Mimic had to form the actual wheels. It did this by pumping its biomass reserves into those stumpy legs. 8 long, fleshy rods grew out from each of those, growing outwards until they were just under 60 centimeters in length. The tips of these organic sticks split in two up to around the halfway point, then stretched outwards to form a bent T-shape. The split-up tips then met each other to form one long, flawless circle. Proficiency level increased. Shapeshift is now level 7. Agility plus 1. Dexterity plus 1. Endurance plus 2. It took the Mimic about 2 minutes to create 4 spoked faux wood wheels, each with a radius of just over 30 centimeters. What looked like wood was actually condensed and hardened tissue that became a sort of cartilage, an organic, rubbery substance that was good at absorbing vibrations and withstanding impacts. The wheels were positioned in such a way that the chest would have to travel sideways like a miniature wagon filled with teeth and murderous intent. Boxy hesitantly started moving its newly forged feet around. The shape was a bit inconvenient, but couldn't be helped. After all, the wagon it copied them from was longer than it was wider, so the Mimic would have to assume a similar construction. At least at first. It was confident that, with some trial and error, it would find the right setup to ensure maximum stability. Much like when it created its favorite spider legs for the first time. However, such an adjustment period turned out to be unnecessary. After all, a carriage was chest-shaped, but a spider was not. By copying the work of skilled craftsmen, Boxy actually found very little adjustments that needed to be made. If anything, its imitation product turned out to far surpass the original. After all, the 4 wheels stuck to the side of the creature were living things that could be bent and angled in any direction at will. Feeling proud of itself, Boxy then decided to move around. It flexed the muscles at the base of its axle legs, forcing the wheels to rotate under their own power. That was when it discovered the first major flaw with its brilliant transformation. Power management. The overeager Box put too much power into the motion, causing a sudden burst of acceleration that launched it sideways faster than expected. It traveled several meters in an instant, which then showed the second flaw with its new invention. Your muscles have ripped. HP minus 87. You have been dismembered. HP minus 154. The very muscles used to power the rotational momentum gave out. Although they were flexible and malleable, they had a limit as to how many times they could twist around an axle before tearing. With the tissue holding them in place severed, the freshly grown quartet of wheels and axles detached from the base of the mimic. They rolled off into the distance or flew up into the air, spraying yellow blood all over the place. Their owner, currently busy hissing and cursing at the sudden pain, slammed into the ground and skidded across it for a little bit, scratching up its sensitive underside.
"What the fuck is it doing?"
asked Cora with a perplexed look on her face. Moaned Zira with her tongue sticking out and her eyes rolled up into her head.
"Right. Good point."
The fiend then gave up on worrying about the silly Box and resumed pounding the face-down ass-up succubus's tight asshole with renewed vigor. Part 6. Having recovered from its pathetic crash, Boxy was forced to re-examine its approach. Creating a detached joint that would allow the wheels to spin as much as they wanted was possible, but it also came with a good amount of risk. Doing that would make it much easier for them to come loose and break off should the monster go over rough terrain. But the mimic could just revert them back into legs if it wanted to go off-road. However, the earlier incident did manage to prove one thing. Moving around on wheels was far easier than walking. So the animate chest decided to give this new mode of transportation another go without feeling disheartened. This was hardly the first time it failed at shapeshifting anyway,